I'm Mark Bayshore. This is Current State on WKAR. You rely on your favorite news sources to keep you informed about what's happening in the world, but sometimes you need to know more than the what of current events. You need to know the why. NPR's social science correspondent Shankar Vedantam reports on human behavior in the social sciences to help the curious listener think about the news in unusual and interesting ways. And he takes this reporting even deeper as the host of the podcast Hidden Brain. Current State's Katie Cook had a conversation with Shankar about his reporting and the podcast a few days ago. She started by asking him what listeners can expect from an episode of Hidden Brain.
Well, Hidden Brain is a podcast that looks at the effects of the unconscious mind in everyday life, all of the ways in which factors that lie outside of our conscious awareness, things that we don't think about, might affect the way we see the world, make judgments, and the way we behave. We've looked at all manner of different things. One of the things we try and do with every episode is to try and make it relevant to people's lives. So we're especially interested in topics that touch people's lives, that can help them be better customers or better citizens or better employees or better parents, to provide practical advice in some ways that people can actually take and do something with. So Hidden Brain episodes come in a wide variety of forms. There are some episodes that are more narratively driven, where a story is sort of leading the way and it leads to interesting questions about human behavior. There are some episodes where a body of scientific research forms the main driver of the episode, and we build anecdotes and stories around the science as a way to illustrate the ideas.
Now, you wrote a book published in 2010 called The Hidden Brain, How Our Unconscious Minds Elect Presidents, Control Markets, Wage Wars, and Save Our Lives. So I'm wondering, how did the Hidden Brain idea turn into a podcast?
Well, I've been doing stories for the radio for a number of years since I joined NPR in 2011. And really, the idea for the podcast grew out of the radio stories that I was doing for NPR, which sort of looked at all manner of interesting social science research. And there has been a lot of interest in these stories over the years. A lot of people find them useful and interesting and share them with friends and family. And a lot of people would write to us and say, we would love to hear a deeper exploration of this idea. We would love to hear more on this subject. Or people write in with questions saying, you know, this happened to me yesterday as I was waiting in line at the bank. Why does that happen? What does social science research have to say? And so the podcast is really a vehicle for us to try and delve deeper into these subjects and from time to time to explore questions that our listeners tell us they're interested in hearing about.
What's the most fascinating thing you've learned since starting this podcast?
Well, you can ask me that question any day, any week, any month, and I'm always going to give you the same answer, which is whatever I'm doing right now is the most interesting thing that I've come by. I tend to get very excited with whatever it is that I'm working on at the moment. Our current podcast episode for the coming week looks at the social science research into why it is women find it very hard sometimes to achieve positions of high authority, whether that's in the political sphere or in the corporate sphere or in the nonprofit sector. There's been a lot of social science research looking at the very narrow path that women have to walk in order to sort of reach that high office. And I think it's just a fascinating set of ideas. It's obviously very topical. We've had prominent women on both the Republican and Democratic side this year who vied for the presidency. So there's a topicality to it. But I think this is also an issue that is going to outlive the presidential election because it's something that's going to be of interest to us for a long time.
And aren't you also exploring immigration in America in some recent episodes?
That's right. So the episode we had this past Tuesday looks at a historical view on immigration and this very interesting pattern that we see repeated over and over again in American history, where groups that have come to the United States often face prejudice and discrimination. And they're usually outraged about the fact that they face prejudice and discrimination because the United States is supposed to be a land of immigrants, a country of immigrants. And so people often complain about xenophobia. The interesting and ironic thing is that often within a very short period of being in the United States, sometimes as little as 15 or 20 years, the very same people now have concerns about the people who are coming to the United States after them. So they turn around and they express concerns about the newcomers and wonder if the newcomers are really going to fit in. What's interesting is that this pattern has repeated itself over and over and over again with multiple ethnic groups, national groups, religious groups. So you have to say that there's something about the way America works in relationship to immigration that somehow encourages this pattern of groups coming, encountering discrimination, being outraged by it, getting assimilated, and then discriminating in turn.
There's one topic you've covered that I found interesting, and it also has a Michigan connection. You were on NPR's Morning Edition this past July, and you were talking about a study that was done on the effects of the Ban the Box laws. And those laws are the ones that prevent employers from requiring that applicants declare whether they have criminal records on their applications. So Sonia Starr of the University of Michigan was one of the authors of a study that looked at the effects of these laws. Can you tell us what that study found?
The new research that I featured on Morning Edition was looking at some of the counterintuitive and unpredicted effects of these laws. It basically found that some employers, when they were prevented from asking people about their criminal history, essentially started extrapolating criminal histories to people from various racial groups. So, for example, if African Americans are more represented among people who have criminal records, the effect of Ban the Box laws effectively meant that many employers said, let's simply not call in African Americans at all for interviews because they're more likely to be represented among people who have criminal histories. And so far from producing the effect, which in some ways was to reduce racial discrimination, the laws might have had a counterproductive effect. Now, a lot of people have criticized that study and sort of said, look, the problem is not the Ban the Box laws. The problem is that many employers are essentially applying racist standards as they're going about seeking candidates. And what we should do as a society is to try and fix the racism, not necessarily go after the Ban the Box laws. You know, I don't have a policy position or a policy view about the question, but it raises sort of this interesting thing, which is that lawmakers and policymakers sometimes devise policies with the very best of intentions, but it's not until you actually study how they actually work in practice that you can actually find out if the law is having the desired effect.
Thank you, Shankar.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I've been speaking with NPR's science correspondent, Shankar Vedantam. He's also the host of the podcast Hidden Brain. You can hear full episodes of the Hidden Brain podcast at npr.org/hiddenbrain or wherever you get your podcasts. You will also hear Shankar from time to time on NPR's Morning Edition, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 here on WKAR. For Current State, I'm Katie Cook.
Katie also spoke with Shankar Vedantam about other topics, including the concept of counter-stereotyping. To hear the rest of their conversation, visit WKAR.org.